All right, we're running a couple minutes late, so we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. Welcome you out to the Planning Commission. In attendance tonight, we have John Valenti, Matt Jewison, myself, Kyson Stonov, and Richard Howard. And we will go ahead and get started. Is there anyone that would be willing to volunteer for invocation and Pledge of Allegiance?
I'll do it.
There.
Oh, you got it, Blair? Go for it, Blair.
You raise your hand first.
You're sure?
Yep.
Our dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're grateful to be able to meet here together as a Planning Commission and pray that as we do so, we may be able to have best interests of the city and to be able to work towards making the city a great city and to improving it. And we're so grateful to live in this city and pray for these things and ask in the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and go to item B, approval of tonight's agenda.
I would move that we approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second that.
All right, motion by John and a second by Matt. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any against? Okay. All right. Item C, reports. Patty, did you have anything for City Council?
I do, thank you. City Council met on August 20th. We had a public hearing and then a vote on approving an increase in compensation for the Laverne City Recorder and the Laverne City Recreation Director. We also approved the 2025 primary election canvas. You've probably seen that on the website, so I won't go into that. We also approved the interlocal agreement between Washington County and the City of Laverne for the TRP funding to design construct the first phase of the Zion Corridor Trail. We also approved just procedures about ethical behavior standards for employees. That was just an annual approval. Proclamation 2025-02 designates September 17th to the 23rd as Constitution Week. We also had a discussion about the critical infrastructure material operations agreement with Interstate Law, and then we had an agreement with them for, rather than doing it's called SIMPA agreement, we approved a different agreement that Interstate Law was favorable toward. And the last item on the list was a discussion regarding increasing business license fees. And basically, on all of the different categories of licensing fees, we increased them, both renewal and new license fees, by about $5, with the exception of short-term rental fees. And on short-term rental fees, after the city had studied, city staff, I should say, had studied the amount of time it takes to work over short-term rental licensing fees. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes costs. Anytime there's a litigation or a question or a follow-up that involves the police, that has to be budgeted in. The police time has to be budgeted in. Anything that has to do with enforcement or any kind of complaints, that will take Nancy's time as the city reporter and working up into advisement with Faye. So it becomes very costly. So we increased the renewal fee for short-term rentals to $200. Right now, we do not allow any new rentals, short-term rentals, but should an area open up in the future, such as the top side, that new licensing fee was set at $300. In addition to that, and at the same time, this won't be enacted until this other thing is in place, is that it's not fair for the legal short-term rental owners to have to compete with illegal, and this has been going on in the city for a long time. The Planning Commission worked on it for a long time. And so we have hired a company called Deckard Technologies who can now go online and use other means to find out all of the illegal owners in town, all of the legal owners, and once the city has that list, letters will be sent out to
cease and desist,
stop doing business. So this, we couldn't really ask the legal owners to pay additional fees when they were suffering from illegal owners. So they correlate together, but one isn't the cause of the other. So, and that's all for the city council.
Thank you. Director of Operations, anything for you there?
Nothing, Zach, thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and we'll go into item D, our public hearing. Number one, an ordinance establishing woodwork zone as Article 10-G, 6G4-1 of the Lurking City Municipal Code. If there is anyone here, we'll open up that now. And we just ask that if you do talk, keep it to the maximum 2 minutes. And please state your name, just so we know who you are, maybe even an address so we know where you're living.
Debbie Grove, 60 East, 420 North. This ordinance is something that I really favor. It's something different than what I have experienced. Either living, working, or owning business within. I've always been in favor of the combination of residential and commercial. The way this was set up is different. I have never experienced it in any other communities, much less here. I wish you all the best on it. I appreciate all the work that you have done on it. It's been a long time coming, and thank you for all your efforts.
Thank you.
For the record, Blair Gardner. I do need to address and thank you guys for the effort that has been put in, Brad and Derek, establishing, and I know this has been a long process. You guys have put a lot of effort into the future of what this looks like to the city, and I'm happy to be part of it. I'm excited to be, quote-unquote, guinea pig, if you will, but I just wanted to express my gratitude in your efforts in being very open-minded and forward-thinking, so thank you for it.
All right, we've got a big audience tonight, so if there's no one else, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion and go into our business section for tonight. Number one, discussion and possible action to recommend to City Council an ordinance establishing a live-work zone as Article 10-6G4-1 of the Lurking City Municipal Code. We'll go ahead and open it up for discussion. You guys have any items you'd like to discuss? Yes, Derek.
Just two things. If you look on the second page of that document that I turned in there, we added minimum acreage. This is what we want to do for the mixed use field, but no live work zone shall be established on property less than 3.5 acres. That coincides with the map that you got, where we took, that we turned up over here, that showed you the properties within our commercial districts that would qualify, particularly qualify, for either mixed use or live work. Prior to this, we had that amount thinking that we might want to go down and start to designate areas, but that seemed to be not very fair. So if we went through, took property size wise, you can see it's down to a handful. I think there's 8 or 9 parcels, and it's kind of mixed within all 3 of our zoning districts. And so we thought that might be a better way to address it. So I just wanted to note those 2 changes. We can change it back if you don't agree with it, but we went ahead and went forward with it in case that's what we thought was a great idea, or a good idea.
No, I liked it. I liked including that. I did have one question. So on the requirements, number two, it says no portion of a live work zone unit may be separately rented out or sold. Does that mean they can rent out the whole entire unit but just can't rent out one level or the bottom level or something like that? How would you?
My intent with that is pretty much just what you just said.
Okay.
The concern was that somebody could rent out separate floors, like Blair's, and that didn't seem to be appropriate.
But it's still allowed to rent out the whole entire unit?
For long term.
For long term.
Yeah.
And then the people who do rent it out could do the live work in there.
They could do that.
Yeah, they would have to have the business license.
But they'd have to come in and get a business license and
go through that same process.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's a lot more clear than when we started.
I think maybe if that's the intent, I think maybe we can go back into the language and clean it up just a little bit, because there's language in there right now that says Riverstone supports owner-occupied units. And then later on it says intended for use by the owner, manager, or employee. I think to make sure we don't have any confusion, we can maybe fix that language a little bit so it would account for situations where the owner could lease it out to third parties and then they could occupy it.
How would you word that? I mean, because you'd still want the businesses in there to be occupying it, not subleasing it.
Would it be the owner of the unit, or would it be, I mean, the way I understand it, it'd be solely the business. Whoever holds the business license for that unit has the access to the live work portion of the unit and would be able to live there.
Right.
I don't see an owner living upstairs and someone else.
Is the owner downstairs the manager or the worker of that business have the ability to live there? We didn't want to create it to be rented out. It was to help the people that actually have the business there.
So the business owner.
So then we gave the three criteria. So it didn't just stick with him. It could be his manager as part of his ability to get, you know, maybe not pay enough, but at least he's got a place to stay, or one or two of the workers, kind of like workforce housing type thing. But
that's a different question than, you know, whether you have to be an owner and occupy it, or whether you can lease that business up. And that's why I think Bay was getting that to clean up.
Well, maybe Bay, if you could clarify that. It was my understanding that, at least on residential, you cannot prohibit a long-term residential. You can prohibit short-term, and you can't prohibit long-term. So that's why I kind of stayed away from that portion of it.
Yeah.
Whenever we're talking about something like subletting and they decide to just kind of sneak an apartment complex in the building, that's kind of the question, isn't it?
The kind of question I'm talking about is, let's say I own the unit, and then I decide, well, I really don't want to operate a business in there, I don't want to live in there. Mm-hmm. So I lease the entire premises to a third party, who then goes and gets a business license and then wants to occupy the residential portion. Is that something that we would permit?
Isn't that still along the same lines of live work?
Pardon me?
Isn't that still along the same lines as live work?
Yes, but they wouldn't be the owners of the unit, and we have conflicting things saying it's owner occupied, so they'd have to be on title, I think, to be considered owner.
Business occupied.
Yeah. Blair, did you have something?
I did. Faye's comment is quite relative to right now, because the residential live work means owner occupied. If you're going to go through a LULA, go through the business license, you are the owner of the property, that's your checks and balance. Okay? The flex value of a zone like this also allows for, case in point, unit 17. We just signed it today because he's commercial only, no residential use whatsoever. Under today's zoning, he bought it as a commercial building to simply lease out long term. It's an investment property for him. So he won't fall into any residential. Now, the checks and balances for the HOA is, in this case, it's Mirror's garage doors. They bought it. They either can operate their own business in there. They can live work if they chose through the definition that Brad and they had established. If he never has the intention to have his residential unit and just wants it to as an investment property to lease to another business, that business has to go through the same HOA, ELUA, and checks and balances. So it's great conversation, because I don't think we've addressed that up to now. So to add that, to clean up that language, to protect the commercial user that wants to use it as commercial only, a commercial user that wants to rent it out, as well as a residential application, is what the definition or the idea of a flex in a perfect world would be.
Well, I feel like the purpose that, as we've been discussing for many weeks on this, the purpose was, kind of as Derek's mentioned, to have the business owner, whoever has the true business license, for them to be able to occupy the residential aspect. And I think it's probably better if we define that it's the business owner and not the owner of the
property. Well, here's another situation. What if you get someone that wants to do live work, they build up a business in there, and then they grow their business to where they're too big for it. And so then they have to move out to a bigger place. What do they do with that? Are they going to have to sell it, or could they lease it out and have someone do the live rent like they were doing?
Or the business goes bust and they want to stay and keep living there.
Yeah, either way, but yes.
Well, isn't that what you're, part of, isn't that what you're trying to say, Tyson, is that even if that business, which we hope they would get bigger and potentially build and
work after it,
they could lease that out to somebody, then they would be the business occupant of that building, not necessarily the property owner or the building owner, which would have the ability to either stay there or have his manager, their manager, or employees, right?
Yeah, it'd be seller lease or seller rent in a sense, and it probably go through the same process of HOA for whatever business comes in, a business license. So whoever they lease to would go through that same process.
I apologize. Anybody that operates any business in there has to go through the ELUA for approval, HOA, as well as business license.
I don't know. I do feel like we need to correct the language, or at least make it very clear. It's the business owner, manager, not the whoever owns the unit. Because if not, you're going to have the owner of the unit trying to live there while someone else is. It defeats the purpose of the live work in my mind.
So
I don't know. From what we discussed.
Articles 1 and 7. N-6G4-9 under requirements 1 and 7 probably need to have some better clarification.
Yeah.
Where they kind of may lead down a different road than we want.
Well, hold on a second. I mean, number 2 of that same section is for reference. Basically, this says no portion of a living working unit can be separately rented or sold. Meaning that, like in Blair's example, different floors, you can't rent out three different people.
And number 7 does say business owner,
exactly.
Not owner of the property, it's business owner.
Yeah.
So that would tie back to the business license.
Yes. So I think you're probably okay with the way it's worded. And again, I'm under the impression, I'm pretty sure that you can't stop somebody from renting anything more than residential. Short term, yes, but not long term. So, just the way it's worded, I think you're probably okay.
Brad, is there anything in your experience that if a business goes bust, the people, that's their only home, and they just stay there? Is there any requirement or any kind of language in this thing that keeps it from just turning into a house?
Yeah, there is paragraph 8 there. Section 9, the unit occupied for residential purposes shall also be occupied by an operating business for which a business
still do it. So the city could actually send a notice that.
Yeah, 2 or 3 that it has to be occupied. In order for it to be occupied as a residence.
But the people be a little control.
Yes. You guys have any questions? Good?
No.
No, I think that's good. Thanks for clearing that up. I think.
Any other comments or discussion? Okay. With no other discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council an ordinance establishing live work zone as Article 10-6G4-1 at SEC of the Laverkan City Municipal Code.
With amendments as we discussed, with amendments or fixing the language as we discussed.
I think that question's been answered. So.
I think it was just adding the minimum acreage, right?
It's been answered, right?
I'm sorry, I said it.
Has the language been answered? Are we okay?
Well, I think, frankly, in my opinion, I think I need to sit down with Derek and maybe with Bradley and sit down and just look at that to make sure I understand what we're trying to do. And if we make any further changes before it goes to the City Council, we can send that out by email to each member of the Planning Commission, along with an explanation, and then you could give your yay or nay as to whether or not you want to continue on to City Council or bring it back for discussion, something like that.
I honestly feel if we recommend it that we're good to move forward with you guys sitting down, addressing that issue, that we have what we need to move forward. I'm okay with that if you guys are.
I'm okay.
Okay, so
just. We just need to make sure we include the minimum acreage, right? That's in this?
Correct, in the newer one. So we do have a motion.
Second.
Okay, so a motion by John and a second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? I think that was okay. Thank you. Let's go on to number 2, discussion regarding a mixed-use zone. Brad, did you want to take this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I passed up the paperwork in regards to the mixed use zone. I have a copy of it there. Tonight we don't have the video or the overhead of it, but we just follow along with us. The first page of this is the mixed use zone for the City of Laverkan. And the intent is to provide for a mix of commercial uses. Lower floor generally face the public right-of-way with multifamily residential uses such as apartments and condos above or possibly surround. I've seen both cases. I've seen combination of both cases. So that's why I kind of put that in there. And then I also had a process as a planned unit development. Now, the thing about planned unit development in state code, I can't find a definition for planned unit development. My concern with the state in itself is the way they have handled planning and subdivisions in the past. And so I don't think it hurts to put something like that in there. It gives you a little bit more protection, a little bit more ability to review things. Once we get into this, I'll kind of show you. Basically, the PUD is going to get the exact same thing that I have in here. But with what happened with the subdivision ordinance with the state, I just don't necessarily trust them. They will come back and try to put more restrictions on you and not allow you to look at stuff. There are exceptions in regard to state code with a planned unit development in the subdivision ordinance. So, in addition, development agreements too. So, I've got both those in there. But when it comes to permitted uses, the permitted uses that you see here are the permitted uses in your commercial zone, with the exception of residential. Where I have condominiums, apartment, and they must be associated with a bottom floor commercial component, subject to be PUD requirements. That's on page 2. Page 3, I also included in here the similar use finding, which allows the planning commission, if there's some other use that's similar to what we have as permitted uses, if you think is appropriate, you have the ability to say yes, go ahead and do that.
Now, when it comes to application requirements, this is basically the same thing that you would get out of a PUD. You can do the precise plan, you need architectural drawings, you need studies, landscaping. The thing that's a little bit different in this one is signage, and that is somewhat new. And I've kind of gone through and defined signage. Sign structure shall incorporate the design theme, a ratio of 1.25 square feet sign area for each 100 foot of building, 10 front or space frontage is required. That's an enterprise sign, the one on the front face of the building. I'd allow for under canopy signs, which if you're walking along, you know, underneath, you can kind of see from the side what's going on. Monument signs. Monument signs are like your 6 foot, 8 foot signs on a corner or on a street. That'll kind of tell you the different uses that are in there. What are prohibited are pylon signs, and these are the ones that you generally see along the freeway. And I don't think you want that on your main street, so those would not be allowed. There is some lighting requirements too. And when it comes down to the development standards and requirements, the density, the maximum density would be 14 residential units per acre. Height would be 4 stories or 50 feet. We talked before about a minimum dwelling square footage, which I included about 600 feet. Block wall is required around the perimeter of the property. This is something you might want to just refer back to code like we did last time.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
You can kind of look at all the different parking requirements that are in there. I've included both commercial parking requirements, residential parking requirements, restaurant parking requirements. So they'd have to meet that. Open space for any type of residential unit would be a minimum of 200 square feet. 100 would be in a common area, and 100 would be in a private area. And there's different types of, as you can see here, common areas kind of define what those amenities would be. Again, we get back to storage areas, where if there isn't some interior storage area provided, there needs to be 250 square feet of enclosed per unit, so that people aren't using like their parking area for storage or so. And then loading areas, ratio of 1 to 50,000 square feet of commercial floor area, which is fairly common. And then on the last page, bicycle racks. I included that as EV-rated bicycle racks. It's kind of interesting. I've been doing work in Zion National Park with a sewer project up there. That's all I see is our EV electric bikes anymore. Nobody rides a bike that's not electric. So I thought it'd be a good idea to have something like that in there. Outdoor storage would be prohibited, like we did in Woodward. And then the balconies would be solid material as prescribed by the International Building Code. Facing the exterior property lines, the interior property lines for balcony could be wrought iron or something like that. So that's kind of a summary of what the mixed use zone is like together. Glad to answer any questions you have.
So if I can, on the live work zone, we had it referenced back to. As people come in, we had it going to the LULA, and this one is going to Planning Commission the way it sits right now, correct?
Yeah. The thing about the live work is that those were uses that you were approving. This would be, you're approving the entire development.
Perfect, okay.
So, and your permitted uses are already in here, so that's the difference in the two.
Perfect. So you kind of addressed one of mine, was the block wall, just making sure we reference our current code, because I feel like we pounded through. Yeah, just the same thing, which I think fixes that one. And then you mentioned on the storage area, it says 250 cubic feet. Is that typical? I haven't seen a lot of code that calls out the storage areas. Do they typically do it by cubic feet instead, just more volume of storage?
Organization that I work for in California, so yeah, it's
pretty standard.
Yeah, it's, you know, a little bit bigger than a closet probably, but at least give you some storage. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's an 8 foot tall room, you're like 31 square feet or you know, 32 square feet. So, okay. Those are the only comments I have. Did you guys have anything else?
I just appreciate that Randy put so much work and time into it. It helps us a lot because we haven't had enough experience with this to be able to just do it on our own. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, a lot of it is just because over the years I've been beat up over stuff like this. So
I can imagine.
It's a point where, you know, you just get to just kind of figure it out and generally know what works and what doesn't work. I think you got something that'll work.
Well, I know down on this lower side of Laverick, and I feel like there's benefits for this, but I also see benefits of establishing this for even the top side. Having something that's established that we can kind of go off of for future growth. So.
Yeah, and with the top site, you know, I know we're still kind of, nothing's happening there yet, right? Or, don't know. You know what I'm saying?
There may be.
But when we get to that point, my thought would be is that you take the best of what you have in your code, you put it up there, and then you develop whatever is unique up there, too. So you'll have probably a lot of different ordinances as part of that, for zoning ordinance.
Perfect.
But not exactly what you have down here.
But yeah. Now we'll have a good basis to kind of build those off of, which I think is going to be nice. So. Okay. If there's no other discussion, then I think we can move into item 3. A discussion and possible action to set a public hearing for September 10th. Yes, Derek.
I'm being forced to go on vacation with my wife. Oh, let me rephrase that. I'm going on vacation with my wife.
Good answer.
Next week, I don't know that I'll be back in enough time to get this ready in a packet. Plus, we have a precision plan we need to do for the Casa de Hot Springs Hotel. So we may not have that meeting, that next meeting, and push it to the whatever the next day is.
What would that be, September?
You talk about the 17th?
Further back. It'd be the 24th.
24th.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I kind of got thrown on that curve. Well, I got some additional pushing.
Is there anything
I told him he needed to go on vacation.
So, unless, you know, I can get Brad to do some things and the rest of my staff to do some things, I just want to know that we'll get prepared the way we want it.
I mean, is there anything pressing? I know there's people that have talked about opportunities, but I feel like we're fine.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think, I mean, I know this is going to be part of the guy that just sent us the money,
the application or anything?
No, the money to, we collected like $15,000 for plan review and stuff like that, so like a deposit. For the hotel, so he already is getting ready to submit plans, but part of the plans was that he was hoping to have the mixed use, something ready to go. But we still haven't seen the plans yet, so I think we'll still be fine. Plus, it'll probably take Sunrise a couple months to go through and verify code compliance. So I think we'll be okay. I just want to make sure that we got all our I's dotted and T's crossed. Especially, we want to take that precision plan and map that out just a little bit better than we did with the first time we went through it. We didn't quite know what to expect or to handle, I think, now that we know what we need to do. So I want to make sure that's up to par for you guys. So I think we need to skip the next meeting and put it on the 24th.
Yeah.
I think we'd be fine.
Okay. Well, that sounds good to me. With that, we'll go ahead and we've had our discussion and look at a possible action to set a public hearing for September 24th, 2025, for an ordinance establishing a mixed-use zone as Article 10-6G5. Of the Laverick and City Municipal Code.
Looking for a motion?
Yes.
I'll motion that we set a public hearing for September 24th.
Yep.
For an ordinance establishing mixed use zone as Article 10-6G5 established SCQ, Laverick and City Municipal Code. I'll second that.
We have a motion by Matt and a second by John. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, unanimous. All right, item four is discussion regarding the possible locations of the live work zones. Did you want to discuss those further?
No, because I think now that we kind of decided to go a different direction with it, I like that better than actually pinpointing an area, so we can scrap that too.
Okay, that sounds good.
Those are visions that we have at night, so.
You did a great vision. Okay, then that leaves us with item F. And I think did we decide we don't have to motion to adjourn? We can just adjourn? Or do we need to motion?
I have no idea.
Well,
I move that we adjourn.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Richard didn't keep up with the Howard.
Yeah, it wasn't very fast.
Okay.
Thanks.
How did you get the hot seat?
I hope to not get it often. Until Alan, he's going to have to choose when he goes on vacation. Right? Yeah, I think Derek will collect them where Nancy's going. And she'll be listening to this recording, so I can't give her too much crap.
Is it still going?
Right, Nancy?
We love you, Nancy.
I have no idea how to turn these off. I paused that. I don't know how to pause this guy.
Thank you.
Thank you.